morning, everybody. As is traditional, we're starting with notices. Over to Steve.
Just a couple of notices today.
There's all sorts of attacks going on at the moment, in many ways, against God, against God's church, against God's word in different forms. One of the things that we've invited you to, and just to mention again, is on August the 12th, Saturday, August the 12th, we're having a church meeting in the Crossing Centre. We've made it Saturday so as many people as possible can come. And it's an information morning, just for an hour, information about the current consultation the Baptist Union are undertaking about a rule change which really has come about as a formal request by a number of ministers and other people and so on. But it calls into question marriage, calls into question God's word and so on. And so it's really important that as a church we've been asked to complete this survey. And before we can do that, which will be in November time, we need to be informed. So it's an information day. Any more information, do see me. Church members have already had letters explaining a bit more and the consultation survey. I've got plenty of spare copies of letters and consultation surveys for those who aren't church members but would like to come. All our church meetings, very rarely do we have a church meeting that people are not invited to also come if you're a regular member of the congregation. So this too, you're very welcome to come, but by way of background, you need one of these letters. I'll be in the vestibule after the church service to let you have those. And there are still some letters to pick up off the table if you've not been for a bit. The other thing that I wanted you to be aware of, and I thought that it would be a great opportunity for us to demonstrate our solidarity. Some of you may have heard that there was an attack on St. John's Church, the parish church here in Paignton. People have damaged the altar. They've broken the Paschal candle, which represents Jesus, and it's there for the whole year. It's lit at Easter. That's been broken in half. They've particularly defaced a particular part of the Bible. It's quite specifically a satanic attack. It's not just vandalism. They've obviously had the police doing what they do, but they've also had a prayer service that I saw happened Friday morning. And I thought it'd be good if we could just send a thinking of you card. It's the only one I had to hand, and at least I could find in Paignton, which sort of just said, thinking of you. It's us, really, just to put our names in here. So I'd like you to write really small so we can get as many names as possible so that we say to our brothers and sisters, we're with you. Because this could easily just have been our church or another church. They're loving, they're forgiving, they're blessing, which is what we need to do, because our fight is not against flesh and blood, it's against enemies and spiritual powers in heavenly realms. We know where our enemy is. So we're not anti-people, we bless people, but we know we are in a spiritual battle. So this is part of dealing with spiritual warfare, is to be kind and loving. And say there's only one church. It's so if you would like to sign that, if you've come from somewhere other than Paignton, I know we've got visitors here today, you're very welcome. If you want to say yes, and from us in Southampton too, then feel free wherever you've come from. And hopefully we'll just cram it, sign on the back if there isn't room. And I'm going to put it down on the front now, because otherwise I might forget it. But do come forward and sign it after the service. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Stephen. So, a warm welcome to all of you this morning, to this morning's worship at Paignton Baptist Church, whether listening online or here in person. It's great to have the privilege to worship our wonderful Lord together. Psalm 100 tells us this: shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's worship in song now as we sing, first of all, Praise the Name of Jesus.
To the King of Kings. Hosanna to the King of Kings.
Glory in the highest heaven, for Jesus the Messiah reigns.
So we continue to worship the God of glory, whose name we exalt.
Praise you for your goodness to us. We worship you for all your good gifts, but most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, whose death on the cross took the punishment for all our sins. Thank you that we are now completely forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
And that we can live as your beloved children in freedom, looking forward to our sure home in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
An opportunity now for you to give if you wish. Please don't feel obliged if you're a guest. Father, we thank you for all the gifts you give to us. We thank you for the privilege of giving back to you. And we pray that you'll bless these gifts in your service. Amen.
Amen.
Our next song is one that you may not know, but we're going to try it through. It's called From the Breaking of the Dawn. And I've asked Joy to play it through first, and then we'll sing together. From the Breaking of the Dawn. It talks about how the way... all the way through our lives, we can trust God's word and his promises to us. Thank you, Joy. It's 1272.
setting of the sun. I will stand on every promise of your word. Words of power strong to say that will never pass away. I will stand on every promise of your word. For your covenant is sure, and on this I am secure. I can stand on every promise of your word. When I stumble and I sin, condemnation rests within. I will stand on every promise of your word. You are faithful to forgive, that in freedom I might live. With anguished choice, I will listen for your voice, and I'll stand on every promise of your word. Through this dark and troubled land, you will guide me with your hand, as I stand on every promise of your word. Every word begun in me, so I'll stand on every promise of your word. Hope that lifts me from despair, love that casts out everything, as I stand on every promise of your word.
Him with your Holy Spirit as he gives us your word now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm so glad that getting my notes together that we had some children here today, because I've got a job for you if you want to. It's always optional here, but we've got over here some of our big white sheets. And we've also got a packet of googly eyes, or wiggly eyes, I think they're called. Wiggly eyes, okay? And what do you think these might turn into? You know what they, Debbie knows. What do these might turn into in your skillful hands? Sheep. Who knew? Who knew? That looks like a sheep, doesn't it? If you imagine sheep legs, eyes. Okay, it might not be, certain types of sheep, which are black or grey, but all sheep are white, aren't they? So these are sheep, at least waiting to be turned into sheep. So, no, so they can stay there. What I'll do, you can either come up and collect them, or we can bring them to you. So what I'd like you to have is two sheets of paper, and I want you to do
picture of, using the sheep with the wiggly eyes, of a good shepherd who's looking after his sheep. And you can think what that means. Protect them from danger, feed them, lead them to water, whatever. A good sheep, a good shepherd on this one. And an evil. Oh, isn't that funny how people smile? I saw the young girl at the back there. As soon as I said evil, there was a grin on her face. So you're going to be good at this. So evil shepherd, good shepherd. All right? That's what I'd like to do. Now, this is not exclusively for children under 14. It could be 15, 16, or 70 or 80 year olds. You go for it, all right? So these are here. And the pens and the prick sticks to stick your sheep, they're all in here. So if you want to come round, past Rowena and David in here, opt in, come and collect your things there while Ollie is going to bring the reading for us.
Good morning, everybody. Today's reading is from Zechariah 11, which can be found on page 956 of the Church Bibles. Open your doors, Lebanon, so that fire may devour your cedars. Wail, you juniper, for the cedar has fallen. The stately trees are ruined. Wail, oaks of Bashan, the dense forest has been cut down. Listen to the wail of the shepherds, their rich pastures are destroyed. Listen to the roar of the lions, the lush thicket of the Jordan is ruined. This is what the Lord my God says. Shepherd the flock marked for slaughter. Their buyers slaughter them and go unpunished. Those who sell them say, "Praise the Lord, I am rich." Their own shepherds do not spare them. For I will no longer have pity on the people of the land, declares the Lord. I will give everyone into the hands of their neighbors and their king. They will devastate the land, and I will not rescue anyone from their hands. So I shepherded the flock marked for slaughter, particularly the oppressed of the flock. Then I took two staffs and called one favor and the other union, and I shepherded the flock. In 1 month I got rid of the three shepherds. The flock detested me, and I grew weary of them, and said, "I will not be your shepherd. Let the dying die and the perishing perish. Let those who are left eat one another's flesh." Then I took my staff called favor and broke it, revoking the covenant I had made with all the nations. It was revoked on that day, and so the oppressed of the flock who were watching me knew it was the word of the Lord. I told them, "If you think it best, give me my pay, but if not, keep it." So they paid me 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, "Throw it to the potter, the handsome price at which they valued me." So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them to the potter at the house of the Lord. Then I broke my second staff, called Union, breaking the family bond between Judah and Israel. Then the Lord said to me, "Take again the equipment of a foolish shepherd, for I am going to raise up a shepherd over the land who will not care for the lost, or seek the young, or heal the injured, or feed the healthy, but will eat the meat of the choice sheep, tearing off their hooves. Woe to the worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May the sword strike his arm and his right eye. May his arm be completely withered, his right eye totally blinded."
Well, what do you make of that? Cheery book, Zechariah, isn't it? For those who have not been with us before, we're going through the book of Zechariah. And David Redaway, who preached on chapter 10 last week, reckons it was the most difficult chapter. I beg to differ, and a commentary I read says, this is the most difficult one. Something that Peter wrote in his letter: we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. It may be difficult, but we need to pay attention to God's word And if we ask the Holy Spirit, He will show us what He's saying. He will speak to us. He will reveal what we need to hear. To start with, if you read your church Bible, you'll see that it's sort of in two sections. And there's a first bit, the first few verses, that almost feel like they should belong to the last bit of chapter 10. Because they're talking about the judgment that God will bring upon the proud nations that have been attacking the people of God, the people of Judah. The stately cedars and pines of Lebanon. That was the pride of Lebanon, the land to the north of Palestine, the north of Israel, was the stately, who's been to stately homes and has seen cedars growing? They're those huge trees with very sort of flat branches. And who's seen stately pines? Probably you've seen Californian redwood, whatever pines, but you've seen them. Lebanon was a land full of stately trees, and its pride was in its trees. And God says, judgment's coming on you. There was the oaks of Bashan. This was the area to the north of the land that's east of Israel. To the north, there was this oaks of Bashan. They would all be cut down. Again, their forests were their pride. And God says, it's coming, it's going to be cut down. In the Jordan Valley, where the lions hide, the lush thicket, the lush, that's going to be ruined. So God is saying in these first few verses, the judgment that I've already told you about in previous parts of this letter are going to be executed. God's judgment will be executed. Some of you may have seen during the week about the blue line. Who heard in the news this week about the blue line? I reckon you did. Well, what was it, Ian?
Something political.
Something political. It wasn't conservatives. The blue line. Did you hear about the blue line? No. Did anybody hear about the attacks on Israel and the farmer at the northern part of Israel that joins Lebanon? What separates them is the blue line. And still, those in Lebanon, followers of Hezbollah, are attacking or threatening to attack Israel. It's exactly the same. And David, as he said last week, look at the news. You'll see in front of you unfolding what's written thousands of years ago. And it's still happening now. So really, this first little bit is a transitional passage to get us from chapter 10 to chapter 11. But something really important. When did the chapters first get put in the Bible? Did Zechariah write down or speak his prophecy in chapters? We laugh. Some of you laugh. No, of course he didn't. But for a lot of us, well, I didn't know that. It's in the Bible. It's in chapters in the Bible. Does anybody know when they were put in?
Third century.
Well, according to my research, and you can argue with Graham afterwards, I was told it was in 1228 by Archbishop Stephen Langton, who was an Archbishop of Canterbury. And he first divided the Bible into chapters. And then the verses that we see in the Old Testament, the bits we've just been reading, weren't done until 1448. But the point is, whenever they were put in, it's not how God's word was delivered. So your chapter headings are helpful to find our way around. But when Jesus picked up the scroll of Isaiah, he didn't find chapter 53. He picked up the scroll of Isaiah and said, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing today. And he picked up the whole scroll of Isaiah. So it's just something to remember. Don't pay too much attention to chapters, verses, and even chapter headings. Having said that, I'm now going to make use of the bit of the heading that's in your Bible, if you've got a church Bible, and it says two shepherds. And that's why the children are doing two shepherds, a good shepherd and an evil shepherd. The thing that we come to Scripture today, as we are trying to understand what's going on, Peter again says these words, which are always something to have in mind. when we think this is really strange and, you know, what on earth is Zechariah on about? God says this through Peter. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And men, that's mankind. Men, women, children. They spoke as God moved them along by his Holy Spirit. So when you are reading this today, and I would encourage you to reopen your Bibles if you've shut them, because it would be really helpful for you to have them in front of you. As you read God's word and you hear God's word, this is the Holy Spirit speaking to you using people. He's already used Ollie. He's used the people who printed these Bibles. But above all, he's used Zechariah to speak to us of what God's saying. So what is going on? What is God saying? It can be very confusing on your first hearing or first reading, and probably your 50th hearing and 50th reading as well. But God seems to be giving a message to Zechariah, through Zechariah, describing the dreadful situation that his chosen people are in because they've had bad shepherds, leaders. The original people that the Jews came from and that we've all come from, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were all shepherds. Shepherds, leaders, they're very much equivalent words. So there have been bad shepherds who have afflicted and exploited the people. They have made themselves rich off the people. Yay, we're rich, they say. And they have oppressed the poor. They've exploited people. Because they're in a position of power, they've exploited. Still happens today, doesn't it? If you look around the world, so many countries, if you're in power, you use power to exploit. Whether it's Africa, Asia, and unfortunately even in this country. You've got power, you use it to line your own, feather your own nest, line your own pockets. This is what's going on. So, God says, right, Zechariah, you are to shepherd the flock, the ones marked for slaughter, the oppressed ones. And you're to get rid of the three shepherds who have not spared the sheep. But he says, although you do that, instead of being grateful to you, Zechariah, for saving them and looking after them well, they won't be. They'll detest you. So Zechariah says, I did this. I got rid of the bad shepherds. I looked after them. The flock detested me. They were not only ungrateful to Zechariah, they were downright horrible to him. They rejected him as leader. Now, this isn't just about Zechariah. Zechariah is putting himself physically in the place to show the people God. Another book, Hosea, another prophet, he was called by God to marry and to be faithful to a woman who would be an adulterous wife, a prostitute. And it was a picture of how God was like Hosea, the faithful husband, to the adulterous people of Israel who were prostituting herself with other gods. So here, Zechariah is acting out what has happened to God and the people of Judah, his people. God has rescued them from oppressive leaders who treat them as sheep for slaughter, not worth looking after because you're going to kill them. But instead of being grateful, the people detest God. Do you ever use that word detest? Don't use it very often, do you? I detest. Now, it might be something that you shouldn't really detest. It might be just say I detest, you know, chips without a tomato sauce on them or something. But detest is a very strong word, isn't it? And that's what the people have said to God, to Zechariah, to the people who sought to lead them. We detest you. We want nothing to do with you. So what will happen to these people because of their treatment of God? And Zechariah is his representative. I grew weary of them and said, I will not be your shepherd. Let the dying die and the perishing perish. Let those who are left eat one another's flesh. It's really happy words for a Sunday morning, isn't it? Can you see why we got the children's activity underway before the reading? But I'm sure you're here. I can see the smiles. It doesn't mince his words. Sorry, it's a very unfortunate turn of phrase, isn't it? He's not minced his words. He's not held back, has he, his words here? It's really God saying, see how you get on without me. You don't want me? Fine. See how you get on without me. The worst thing that can happen to any one of you, the worst thing that can happen to me is God saying, okay, you have what you want. You go your way. I will stand back and let you go and do what you want, and you will suffer the consequences. It's the worst thing that God can ever do is say, okay, off you go, and just let people just go. And that's why God is always the good shepherd who keeps on caring for us no matter what we do. There will come a time on Judgment Day where he says, right, you go, and you'll never see me again. But up until that time, the worst thing that can happen is when God says, right, off you go then. See where living for yourself in your own strength and power gets you. He does not do this lightly. So then, Zechariah is still acting out the story. And he breaks his shepherd's staff. Did you have a staff, Debbie, when you were a shepherd?
Yes, I did.
You did? A shepherd's staff is an instrument of protection. So it's got a hook on the top to hook the sheep off if he's fallen down the side of a cliff or is just about to get into danger. It's a long staff. Say, come on, don't fall off the edge of the path. I need to rescue you. He breaks the staff. I meant to bring my bamboo in today because that's about all I could break. But he broke his staff called favour. Favour represents the covenant that he'd made to protect Judah from the surrounding nations. God has been holding back the nations from attacking his people. But now they will be overrun. Now they will be overrun. All of those oppressed people who know the Lord will watch and recognize that this is the word of the Lord. Those people who watch and look see when God is acting. And then Zechariah breaks the staff called union. This represents the family bond between Judah and Israel. Israel, 10 tribes, descended from 10 sons of Jacob. Judah and Benjamin, 2 sons of Jacob. 10 and 2. And they should be united. They haven't been united as God's people since the time of David and Solomon. We now call the Jews, Jews, and they call themselves the Jews, because they're descended from Judah. We only now have those who are descended from Judah and Benjamin. Those who are descended from all the other 10 tribes were taken by the Assyrian Empire, and they were spread out, never to be seen again. Never till heaven will the 12 tribes come back together. But God is saying, you who should have been together, you're not. You should have acted together. You should have been together. You should never have split up. As a result, one group will be exiled and will eventually come back, the remnant, Judah, but the others will go. So, we have 2 shepherds. Shepherd 1 is God, the good shepherd. He's revealed in Zechariah's actions and words. And as David said last week, and I'll say it again this week, take this home, read it again, see the good shepherd in all this mayhem that's going on. He is the good shepherd who has compassion and saves his people. He protects them from other nations. He brings the whole family together. But he is not mocked. This is a holy God who is not mocked. He's rejected and detested by his people. And although he is kind and devoted to them, judgment will come on all who reject him. And in this church, we must never be an airy-fairy church that says, oh yes, God is love and everything's fine. God is love, but we have a holy God. Holy, holy, holy is his name. And God is not mocked. So that's shepherd number one. Shepherd number two, Zechariah is told by God to take again the equipment of a foolish shepherd. I wonder what that equipment was. By what we've been reading, sounds like a knife and fork. Sounds like something to kill the sheep. I wonder what it was. We don't know. There may be other clues elsewhere in Zechariah that I haven't come across. But why is Zechariah taking the equipment of a foolish shepherd? It's because God is going to raise up a shepherd over the land who, unlike him, will not care for the sheep, the people. Foolish in the Old Testament does not mean silly. What does foolish in the Old Testament mean? You've already heard the word this morning. What's our choice between the two shepherds? Good and evil. It's willfully bad. It's not stupid, lacking intellect, silly. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. If you look through Proverbs, you look through the whole of the Old Testament, foolish is evil. It's willfully bad. So we're all learning a lot today. And this is really important as you read the Old Testament, because foolish doesn't sound too bad, does it? We're all a bit foolish. If I said to any one of you, when was the last time you were foolish? Well, half past eight this morning. No, when was it? You know, we could all find something, couldn't we? But this is not the same. So, he is described as worthless shepherd. That's in our reading we've had today. He will not care for the lost. He will not seek the young. He will not heal the injured or feed the healthy. Instead, he will eat the meat of the choice sheep, tearing off their hooves. What a horrible picture. If you've got a joint of meat, there are certain bits of meat that you can only get by, if you pull your chicken apart, do you ever do that? You pull your chicken apart, there's certain bits that are best bits. That's the picture. These leaders, these shepherds, will abuse and exploit the people to the extent, to any extent, just to get what they want. I'm told by the scholars who've studied this, there isn't a particular leader in mind, a particular shepherd in mind that Zechariah's picture, that God is talking about him raising up. This is the future leaders of his people. And you can see all the way down to Jesus what these leaders were like. Having said all this, what does it mean for us? A couple of things. One, God's purposes are being worked out in his people, the Jews, still to this day. Look at the news. Are you one of those who is watching and can say, it's the word of the Lord? I've just seen the word of the Lord in action. I've just seen it. Secondly, and this is the really good bit, this is the good news. Look at God's heart. The reason why we've asked the children to do these two pictures is that whether it's all of us, if they're happy to show them, or just those around, is to help us see what they see as a good shepherd. We can trust him. We just had an emergency situation that came just before the service. And a very difficult situation. We just heard about somebody who is just at despair and at the end. And we just don't know whether they're safe or not or whatever. They need to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Say, no matter what you've done, come back. We can trust him as the Good Shepherd who rescues us and protects us. He will care for the lost. Zechariah has pictured this evil regime of leaders who won't. He will care for the lost. He will seek the young. He will heal the injured. He will feed the healthy. Who's hungry this morning? Or will be a bit later on. Who's hungry for God? Who's hungry for life? Who's hungry for truth? Who's hungry for justice? Who's hungry for anything good? God will feed you. God will feed you. So don't reject him, or worse, detest him. Because one day you'll get what you ask for. And I'm talking to this, whoever's listening to this on the recording, now, this week, or in a month's time, or 6 months' time. Do not reject the Good Shepherd. Because one day you will get what you ask for. And a terrible day that will be. God's word is trustworthy. 2 Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy says this, and I'm coming towards the end, just so you know. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're reading this word today. I'm bringing a few things out of it for you to meditate on, chew over, think on, because this will equip you for every good work. It is for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I just want to give you something which I get really excited about, and I hope you're excited as well. Some of you will have already spotted it, and some will say, wow, I never knew that was in Zechariah. And some people, how does God do that? In one of the readings that some of you may have come across this week, if you're following the UCB notes, it talked about how Christianity, the faith of Jesus, word of Jesus, is the only religion where you have prophecy after prophecy after prophecy spoken years ago of specific events that are then fulfilled, one after another. Hundreds of them. Jesus fulfilled so many of them. I want you to look at verse 12 and 13 in your Bible while I have a drink of water. I think this is great, and I hope you're really excited about this. Some of you may have already known this anyway, so just be a reminder. What are verse 12 and 13 about? I'll just read them to you, for those who haven't got the Bible in front of you. I told them, if you think it best, give me my pay. But if not, keep it. So they paid me 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, the handsome price at which they valued me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them to the potter at the house of the Lord. Zechariah, getting paid for doing damage to sheep or something, or not, and potters, and what on earth is this all about? Zechariah, representing God, is given his pay as a rejected shepherd of God's people. 30 pieces of silver. It's the price that you had to pay to redeem a slave and the time this was written. So in ancient Israel, if you wanted to redeem a slave, 30 pieces of silver was the price. The Lord says, throw it to the potter, the handsome price at which they valued me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them to the potter at the house of the Lord. Some of you are thinking, ding dong, this rings a bell. When was God valued at 30 pieces of silver? The price of a slave. When did a potter and the house of the Lord come together? This is chapter 27 of Matthew's Gospel. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver, the price that he had been paid to betray Jesus, to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What's that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, it's against the law to put this in the treasury, since it's blood money. So they decided to buy the money, to use the money, to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That's why it's called the Field of Blood to this day. 500 years before the events, the Holy Spirit inspires Zechariah to foretell what is going to happen to Jesus. A price will be agreed for Jesus, a handsome price. That's called sarcasm and irony. A slave price for Jesus. And when Jesus, who betrayed him, the good shepherd, for that price, was seized with remorse, he tried to return the silver. They weren't interested. The chief priests and the elders weren't interested in his guilt, in his remorse. He threw the money into the temple, the house of the Lord, just as foretold. And what do they do with it? They buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. Everybody's welcome into the kingdom. The Field of Blood, as it's called to this day, because it was bought with blood money. If this does not convince you that God inspired the whole of the Bible, and that we might understand who Jesus is, and we put our faith in him. If this doesn't do it for you, then I don't think anything in the Bible will. It's a waste of time. If you cannot see, this is amazing. This is amazing. Because all the people around the time of Jesus, they had Zechariah in front of them. It's already there. It wasn't made up afterwards to fit, to make it clever. And Jesus wasn't in charge of what Judas did with the money. And Jesus wasn't in charge of what the Jews and the chief priests did with the money. They chose to buy the potter's field. They all fulfilled what he said would happen. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today. He was there in the present. He's there in the future. So, read God's word, trust God's word, and obey God's word. Then.
Thank you that you are the good shepherd, and I pray that you'll help me. looking very alert and very happy looking sheep. And here we have the bad shepherd, very unhappy looking sheep. And here we have the good shepherd, and very happy looking sheep and smiley shepherd as well. Very good. Spirit, help me. I want to be a more obedient sheep, to follow and walk alongside my shepherd and be carried when needed, to feed and rest in his pasture. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing a hymn about this. The King of Love, my shepherd, is our shepherd, is the King of Love.
Forever.
are on your mind and things you wish to pray for. So just have a short time of open prayer if you wish to pray for people or situations that you're aware of.
Heavenly Father, I want to pray for Sue Worthington. Lord, you know how she's feeling over this past week or so since Hillary passed away. I pray, Lord, that you'll give her strength for each day. She knows where Hillary's gone, but when you've been a close friend, it's not easy. So I pray for her today. I think they're travelling back today from holidays. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with her in this coming week and help us to be true friends and look after her during this time. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. As we think, Lord, of our sister Hillary, we thank you for her. And we just pray for her son Nick and her sister Margaret and her brother at this trying time, Lord, that you'll be very close to the Lord. And help them over these coming days. Grant them your consolation and your compassion, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I would pray for the ladies that phoned us this morning, a very distressed day. Because of a situation that was unfolding out of her control, which has great implications for both her and her young family. Heavenly Father, you know exactly what's going on in that situation. I would just pray to you for your peace into her life, that of her family, and that in the chapel is causing all this trouble at the moment. Father, he's a very troubled man. He knows you. Jesus, we pray and speak to him very clearly about what to do next.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I want to pray for those who are walking in fear for whatever reason. It's fear of a person, domestic violence, whether it's fear that they aren't good enough. Whatever it is that leads them to walk in fear. Lord, I ask you to hold those people safely, provide safe places for them, and people of peace around them. But above all, Lord, let this be an opportunity to let them feel you holding their hand and helping their life. I ask this in your precious name, Jesus.
Who mourn at this time, that you will comfort. For all who suffer, Lord, that you will enable them to be healed as it can please you, and grant them your peace. In Jesus' name, Amen. And our God is a God of hope, and we're going to finish with a song of hope. There is a hope. Thank you, Tim.
Against despair, that when the world has
of time, and lifts my eyes beyond the beckoning grave to see the matchless beauty of a day.
Overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.